Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Good morning and welcome to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Also coming to you indirectly live from Fox Sports Central right there in Sylacauga, Alabama. Our good buddies Michael Brannon, Lee Perryman. So much appreciate being a part of that great network that they've got there in Sylacauga. Mark, good morning and welcome back, pal.
Well, it's good to be here. I'm glad to finally be back. It's been a long month and a half, but you know what? God got us through all of it, all the sickness and sadness at our house. But it's just it's a blessing to be here, to be with you guys this morning and talking to our folks out in radio land.
You know, Mark, as we think about what your family went through and the loss of, first of all, a husband for Beverly, a dad for Michelle, a grandfather for your boys, and a father-in-law for you. We have tried our best to cover you in prayer, but at the same time, you've had to step up to the plate and put your big boy pants on and do things and look after a lot of folks in this past, really, 10 days. And you know, you are covered a lot more than just in here by a lot of our listeners. I can't even begin to tell you the messages that we got wanting to let you know how much you are loved and how much you are appreciated. So hopefully I've done that now and told you from our listeners that how happy and how proud we are to have you back. But we all have struggled knowing that you're suffering. So just know that, pal. Lots of people know that. You know, I had a chance to see one of our listeners last night. I had Diane's in town, and so I went by to pick up some stuff from Cravers. And, man, you got to go by Cravers, boy. I'm telling you, some really good stuff. But Miss Patty, that she's one of our favorite ladies. And I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with her there at the produce shop and place right there on the corner and right next to Cravers. But boy, I thought about what an amazing lady she is and how much she has meant to this program over the years. And I think about people that Mark that they're in our life indirectly, and we don't even know about until we see them and they hear our voice and they say the things that they say. And so I want to let you know that this morning, a lot of people have you in their hearts and prayers have certainly been there. We got a new coach at McGill, a guy that we're really not too familiar with. It's a guy that spent a lot of time at the collegiate level and a lot of different places, and most recently was the offensive coordinator at Catholic in Baton Rouge. And so we're going to talk to Norman Joseph at 9 o'clock this morning. Our good buddy Wes Williams from Wheel 2, I'm sure, is excited about not excited about losing the head coach they had, because Ernest Hill did a great job.
Yes, he did.
But to get a different look, a different perspective. And this guy's is pretty much an offensive guy. And, of course, Ernest was a defensive guy, and so – you know, some changes maybe as far as philosophy, but sure is a quality hire, I'm sure.
It is. I remember, and I got to thinking about Coach Joseph when I started reading, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that when he was at Mississippi College, there were several kids from Fairhope that they recruited, and it was Division III then, and they there were several of them from our school that went and played for Coach while he was at Mississippi College. And, man, all those kids had nothing but highest praise for him, not only as a coach but as a man and a leader in his family, and just it's a wonderful thing to see that he's coming to McGill to take that those characteristics in his own life and share them with the kids at McGill, just to build upon that foundation of that tremendous program here in Mobile. So we're glad Coach is here. I've went over to Mississippi College and watched him play. There was a few kids, Orion Davidson, who played safety for us at Fairhope, Brandon Willison. I hope I don't miss any. I'm not going to go through them. Brian Richardson played there. Paul Sink kicked there. I can't think. There may be one or two more that I'm forgetting. I'm getting senile in my old age. But I know those kids went and played for Coach, and they all had the highest regard for him. So kudos to McGill for getting not just a really good coach, but a really good person to lead that program.
Yeah, Norman's been he's been active in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes for a long time. So that's really we're excited about talking to him, and I know you McGill folks will look forward to hearing him at 9 o'clock this morning. Another great bit of news, kind of a sad set of news from the National Football League that affects the community in Fairhope and the entire Catholic community on the Gulf Coast here. Phillip Rivers has decided to step away from 17 years in the National Football League, and he's going to come in, and he's the head football coach at St. Michael's. And a little later on today, we're going to talk about that. I want to get your perspective on how that's going to affect things, not only in Fairhope, but on the Gulf Coast here, as far as Catholic children being able to go to a Catholic school there. So
absolutely. He's going to do I'm looking forward to talking about that, because I don't know Phillip. I just know of him.
Yeah.
And from what I know and what I've been able to gather, just utmost respect for the guy he is. And if you talk to the guys in the NFL, he was a talker.
Yeah.
You know, he liked to talk. But he was not one of those guys. You never heard of Phillip Rivers getting in trouble.
Yeah.
You never heard of him doing anything. He doesn't curse.
Yeah.
You know, he has a strong faith, and he displayed that. Even though he was a guy who liked to antagonize during a game, which is part of the game. He's having a good time. It's like going out and playing golf. Like, we'll go out and play golf, and if I go out and play and I hit a ball and it goes out of bounds or something, I go, boy, you got into that one really good. Just too bad it didn't go straight. Just something, you know, to gig you a little bit, but nothing to – he wasn't the kind of guy who would just tear you down. And I think he brings a wonderful background to St. Michael's. Also, you know, his dad was a tremendous football coach. And I think they were at Athens – high school when he was recruited to North Carolina State, and I kind of have a sneaking suspicion we might see Dad down doing a little coaching here too. I don't know. I've heard. I don't know this for a fact. They may be moving here. I don't know that for a fact. But either way, a great family and God fearing people. They're going to do a great job. And you know, I'm looking forward to meeting Coach Rivers and watching what he does at St. Michael's.
Funny that you might mention Steve. Steve Rivers was grown up while we were growing up in Sylacauga, about a 9-iron or a wedge from where we were raised. And Steve was let me tell you what he was. First of all, he was a tremendous athlete. He's a great football player, a tremendous basketball player, and a really good tennis player, state champion tennis player.
I didn't know
player.
All that.
Yeah, yeah. And Steve really kind of cut his – he went to Mississippi State and played football. But then he got a football job as an assistant at Decatur and worked for some really good football coaches and became a head coach in that area up there and was a head coach at Athens. I can't wait to see Steve Rivers. I mean, one of the kindest, sweetest – considerate men I've ever known. And I'll tell you this. I've seen some people throw tennis rackets before, but I've never seen anybody throw a tennis racket as far as I saw Steve Rivers throw one at the tennis courts in Sylacauga one day. And he had a right to throw it. I mean, he really did. He was He was frustrated. Golly, I'm so excited that Phillip's coming into town.
Me too.
And he'll make a difference in a lot of kids' lives. And then when his daddy comes, he'll be right there by him.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 with the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture. Your name in lights above it. This is your big debut. It's like a dream come true. So won't you smile for the camera? I know they're gonna love it. Big. I like your picture.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're talking about Steve Rivers here. His son, Philip, got about to take over as the head football coach at St. Michael's over on the Eastern Shore, over in Fairhope, as a matter of fact. And we're talking about Steve, and Steve was the head coach at Decatur from 1981 to 85. He succeeded the guy that hired him, Earl Webb. And Earl Webb was the head coach there for like 13 years, from 1967 to 1980. So when you were in high school, Earl Webb was the head coach at Decatur.
And we played.
And Steve was an assistant from about, I would say, almost 75 to 80.
Then he was there because in 76, we played Butler and Decatur played in the quarterfinals of the playoffs. And they had Benny Perrin.
That's exactly right.
Was their quarterback and safety.
And great defensive back at Alabama, who later passed away. You know that?
Yeah, I do.
Benny owned a series of barbecue restaurants in Decatur. And Benny passed away.
We played them at Milton Frank Stadium.
Yeah.
And I think they beat us by a field goal or a touchdown and scored late in the game. Benny was the quarterback.
Right.
And they had a running back named Darnell Shackelford who scored the last touchdown on us. And I was on defense on that play.
And you missed a tackle on him.
I probably did. He jumped over me.
He jumped over you. Yeah. I knew that there had to be some story there.
I came in there with that ankle biter tackle form I had. But I remember that game. And I didn't know if Steve was there on staff at Decatur at that time. That was a great game. Decatur went on the next week and played Mountain Brook. With Major Ogilvy. He was the running back.
Yeah.
And Mountain Brook won. Mountain Brook went on and won a state championship that year. But and I think Coach Higginbotham was the head coach at Mountain Brook at that time. Roberts.
Yeah, because
dad.
No. Robert was the head coach at Mountain Brook.
Was he?
Mo Higg never coached at Mountain Brook. Morris Higginbotham ended up at Hueytown. That was his last stop.
That's right.
And Robert was there, and they got some kind of – Terry could tell us, but Robert got a little irritated. There's some things that took place after they won the state championship, and Robert left. Robert left there. Robert Higginbotham was a great high school football coach.
Oh, man, yeah.
But, yeah, they did. But Robert did leave there. And, of course, Robert's – and I was thinking maybe – Rick Rhodes was the head coach at Mountain Brook at one time, too. And he was also the head coach at Pelham. And now he does stuff for us at Super 7. He does the color for Super 7 broadcast with our buddies out of Sylacauga who do a great job.
I saw him this year on the Super 7 championships.
Yeah, Rick does a great job with that. And but Rick, if I'm not mistaken, Rick was the head coach at Mountain Brook. And let's see.
Gene Ellison
And Gene's from Sylacauga. Gene was there forever.
Had a lot of coaches come out of Sylacauga, didn't they?
Well, they had some good ones and they had some bad ones too.
Come on now.
But Gene Ellison was there and did a great job there at Mountain Brook. And we'll try to find some more on that. But in the meantime, I want to talk just a little bit about wrestling, Mark. I know that wrestling is one of the things that you really kind of cut your teeth on in coaching. A pair of defending state champions earned titles this past week in the duels final over Bill Harris Arena, what you and I probably remember as Fair Park.
Fair Park.
Yeah. And so,
that's right.
As a matter of fact, we're about to play our state basketball championships at two locations. We're going to play it at UAB's Bartow Arena and also at Bill Harris Arena out there, what we used to know of as Fair Park. We're going to kind of split it up. There's going to be a lot of changes in the way we do the state championships in basketball. And we're also going to – there's a lot of changes being made in spring sports, too, and we're going to talk about some of that today. But I wanted you to kind of go over how we're doing in determining state wrestling champions now, because it's a little bit different from what we used to do.
It is. It used to be the tournament was set up where you would have – you score team points as an individual.
Right.
You would go out and if you get like 6 points for your team if you pin your opponent, a major decision of over – can't remember if it's, I think it's 10 points. If you beat a guy more than 10 points or 15 points, I can't remember exactly. It's been so long, but that's a 5 points for your team.
Right.
And then a regular decision is 3 points. So if you win 4-2, then your team gets 3 points.
Right.
And so that's how so if you had a tournament, you start off with a 103-pound weight class. They'd start off and all those guys would be wrestling and they just keep working them through from every school
right.
in the state.
Yeah.
They just work through. Then they go to 112, and it never stops until that first round is over, and they've gone from 103 to heavyweight.
Heavyweight. Sure.
Once they do that, at the end, that round ends, they'll go back and see, okay, all these kids from Ben Russell scored this amount of points and for their team, and they put those points out there, and that's how they rank the teams
right.
throughout. Now it's a little different. They do it that way still. I think they have two state tournaments. One is the dual team tournament. Now, dual team tournaments started when I was still coaching, but we didn't have a state tournament for it. But we had a lot of schools who started doing dual teams. And what that means is it's like any other team tournament, like a basketball tournament, where Spanish Fort and Fairhope are playing. Their teams are playing all at one time, not individuals,
right.
not weight classes.
Yeah.
They wrestle one another at one time, and they go, and the team that scores the most points and that match moves forward. The losing team drops to the loser's bracket, or if they're already in the loser's bracket, they drop out of the tournament.
Yeah.
But that's how that goes, and I thought it was a great, a wonderful way to do that when they made that move to do that years ago. I thought it was one of the best things that they've ever done, because it gives you, to me, it really puts your team right there. All your guys, you know, are sitting right there. When it comes down to the heavyweight match and the score is 32-33 and you got to have this score to win, you got to win it by 3 points or he's got to win a decision
yeah.
or it's got to be
yeah.
a pin.
Yeah.
I remember watching DeGrotto Sandlin wrestle at Ben Russell one night and we're wrestling, I don't remember who it was, but if Grotto pins his guy, we win a tournament.
Right.
If he just wins by major or decision,
yeah.
we don't win.
Yeah.
And he's out there, and it's in the third period, and that kid is doing it. And finally he caught him in a little deal where he got him on his back, and I've never seen a kid try to pin somebody as hard. And our whole plateau
yeah.
in Alex City, you know how the gym
oh,
used
yeah.
to be in Alex
yeah.
City, and that place was rocking. And when that referee hit the mat, everybody just jumped up and we'd won.
Yeah.
But that was in the old individual
right.
team tournaments. Now with the straight tournament, your whole team's sitting right there on the bench. The other
yeah.
team's on the bench. You're all facing one. It's a great,
that's
great
neat.
Atmosphere.
And it's really something fun to watch, too. Even if you don't understand it. Just watch it, because the kids will show you
right.
the entertainment. I mean, it's a passionate thing. And, boy, you see some of these little guys that aren't able to play a high school sport because of their physique. And – I mean, you get a 100-pound kid almost, and boy, it is so much fun to watch a wrestling match. And so we did, we crowned some state champions in the duels finals at Bill Harris Arena. Thompson edged Vestavia 33-25 to earn their third straight Class 7A duels title, while Gardendale beat Wetumpka to pick up its second straight championship. Now, that was in 6A. Claiborne County outpinned Asheville 43-34, and I think there's a 7A and then there's a 5A 6A combined,
and
then we have
four.
1-4. That's
I
where
think
it
that's
was.
Correct.
So Gardendale beat Wetumpka to win 5A 6A, and then Claiborne County out of Heflin defeated Asheville to win the 1A 4A. So congratulations to all of those.
And see what it may be where it says, I didn't read the story, but when they said outpinned, it could be that they actually didn't win as many overall matches, but they pinned more people and scored more points.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
So cool. That's crazy.
I love it.
Hopefully we bring that here. Hopefully we bring it to Mobile. And Danny Cordy and his group, it would be great to have that in one of our arenas here, even out at South Alabama or somewhere.
Yeah.
Boy, that would be amazing. That would be wonderful.
And it is growing in this area.
Oh, it is.
It is really growing, and I think it will continue to grow.
It is.
And it's a great sport.
Oh, it is.
You put your toe on the line.
Here we go.
That's
Here
it.
Here we go.
You put your
and
toe on the line.
It ain't nothing like WWF.
No,
I can promise you that.
Nothing.
Hey, it's great to have Mark back in the studio. We're going to talk some high school basketball when we return. It's always good to be with you on a Saturday morning here on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The CNC Financial and Auto Sales communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Jack and Diane painted a picture of my life and my dreams. Suddenly this crazy world made more sense to me. Well, I heard it today and I couldn't help but sing along.
Hi, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And we were talking a little bit of wrestling. Let's move a little bit to basketball. Man, Fairhope is on fire basketball-wise.
They got a good basketball team.
Man alive.
They got a really good basketball team.
I think they continue to be ranked number one in 7A, and you know you got a 6'5" quarterback who signed with Duke in Riley Leonard. I got a phone call late one night this week and said, "Coach," one of my golfing buddies, and said, "I watched Fairhope play tonight. And this Riley Leonard guy did a 360-degree windmill dunk." Now, that's pretty impressive. Wow. And he's probably one of the finest athletes we've had in this county.
A good kid.
Yeah, man. I am so excited for him.
Too.
And he gets to go and play for one of the really classy, quality, phenomenal football coaches in America. Now listen, Duke doesn't set the world on fire.
No.
They didn't have a good year this year. I think they were 2-9. But to have the opportunity to spend 4 years with David Cutcliffe, I think you get a pretty good endorsement from two guys that know him fairly well, two guys that played a little bit of football in the NFL, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, that's that was
– I mean, Eli Manning went to where he was. He didn't follow and go
no.
to –
No, didn't
you know
go
where
to Tennessee.
Peyton went.
He went
he
to
went.
Where David.
That's now, granted, Ole Miss is home too.
Yeah, but that's a great point. That's a really a great point. He could have gone where his brother had been.
Had built a legacy there.
Right.
But
he chose to go where David Cutcliffe was. That is a great point. Never even thought about it like that. That's really neat. That's really neat. But plus his daddy did play.
And he was pretty good too.
Yeah, pretty good player too. So, and you're talking about getting huge endorsements from a family. Everywhere David Cutcliffe has been, the Mannings tend to end up being around that campus at some point in
they
time.
Do.
All of them, from Archie to Peyton to Eli. So, you know, Riley Leonard, you've got an amazing opportunity in front of you, young man, and we're excited for you. But he and, you know, another young man named Hunter Ivey has been playing really well for Fairhope, and they beat Foley this week 73-22. Now, I think they played last night as well. And but boy, he's some kind of special player.
Are they undefeated still?
They are. They were 21-1 going into last night. I mean 21-0 going into last night. I still don't know.
Remember the last time Fairhope was undefeated in basketball?
I do not. Had to be when Bailey was there, wasn't? Ralph was there.
Ralph
really?
Watson. I think they ended up 33-1 that year.
That's another heck of a basketball coach.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
He had some really good Alan Whitney and Skylar Miller, Sullivan Mills. I remember those guys on that team. I don't know if Sam Miller was on that team. I think he was. But it was a really, really good basketball team. Of course, Ralph does a great job and does a great job now at Bayside. But, Ralph, that was the last time, and I think that was like 2003 or something like that.
And there's a guy, too, who dabbled in the college game. Ralph was at Birmingham Southern, mm-hmm. got some – I mean, really did a great job as an assistant there. And, man, he did a great job at Fairhope. And now he continues to do – and, you know, he – and this is not a knock on anybody. But, you know, sometimes the Jimmies and the Joes just aren't as talented as the Jimmies and Joes that play for the team in the other shirt. Mm-hmm. And, boy, Ralph has done an amazing job with that.
I can tell you right now, it's one of the – I can say this unequivocally. If I had a kid who was playing basketball,
yeah,
I want Ralph to coach my son.
Yeah,
I would, yeah. Because Ralph is a guy. He is a godly man.
Yep,
and he preaches that not only verbally, yeah. he preaches it in the way he lives his life, and he does it right, and he's done it right for a long time. And of course, you know, it's like we talked about it earlier this morning. He had a pretty good mentor there at Berry High School when yeah. he played. Yeah. High school ball for Bob Finley there at Berry High School in Birmingham. But Riley Leonard, man, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to watching him go finish out this season and then go forward in his career at Duke. And I think he'll have a great career there because, I mean, first of all, if you get into Duke University, you're pretty much –
pretty smart.
You're pretty smart, and you're going to have a good chance if you do your work, and I think he will. To be very successful in life, and
yeah.
I think Riley will do that. And he's worked hard to get where he is, both on the basketball court and the football field.
You know, we got to give credit too, and a guy that we don't talk enough about, we need to get him on the show some, is David Morris.
Yes,
Riley has worked, I mean, diligently with David Morris there at Quarterback Country here. I got to tell you this, Steve Mask. I made the comment that Steve Rivers grew up a wedge away from me. So Mass says, you can't hit a wedge. That's okay. It's okay.
Hey, and I did look at while we're back on that subject. I looked up Robert Higginbotham.
Yeah.
And he had already been there before I got – he was there at 73 through 75 at Mountain Brook.
Right.
It was somebody else who was the head coach then. Rick Rhodes came in after him.
Yeah.
Then there was another guy, and I can't remember who it was, but – he was there in 77.
Yeah.
It might have been Rick Rhodes who was in 76.
I think Rick Rhodes was there. I think Rick did follow Robert.
That's right.
I think he did.
That's what it was.
And then he went to Pelham.
Yeah.
And he coached the quarterback that played at Alabama.
Oh, gosh.
Because he came down and played Viger. And his daddy was the alpha guy. His daddy was – and one of the guy that I played softball with all over the country. I'll think of it in a minute, but
it stinks getting old. It does.
But it's good to remember that kind of stuff. But yeah, we're excited about Riley Leonard and those guys. You know, another guy that's really got a really good team this year is Shumbay Hunter over at Williamson. They won the 4A last year. Shumbay's team is now 20-2 over at Williamson. And they beat Viger 70-40. So it looks like they're on a path to maybe defend that 4A state title. They played Escambia County last night, and they're 6-0 in 4A Area 1 right now. But congratulations to Shumbay, one of our favorite guys. He and his brother used to be the head coach at Baldwin County High School. They coached together on there, and it's really fun watching those two guys work together. And
Lorenzo.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that guy used to crack me up. I love seeing him.
Yeah.
Every time you see him, he got a smile.
Got a smile on his face.
And I loved watching him coach. And I think Coach Sav would call it a 32-piece suit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He was dressed to the T now, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Lowe was always he dressed good, looked good, and coached good.
Yeah, he sure
did. You know, cuz he believed in that old philosophy, if you look good, you play good.
Everything's going to be good.
That's right. And he did a great job. And you talk about changing lives of kids.
Yeah.
He changed a bunch of them.
He sure did.
Tremendous, tremendous person in our profession.
And he changed some adult lives, too.
Yes,
he did. Really did. He had words of wisdom for just about, and I mean, just good people. Good people. Jimbo Tolbert over at Spanish Fort got his team rolling. They defeated Robert Steele 63-37 earlier this week. 16-3. Oh, Jimbo is doing a great job there. Of course, he came in from Jackson, coached with us at UMS for a while.
I was there.
Yeah.
I got to know Jimbo when I was there, and I'll tell you what, right off the minute he walked in the door, you can't help but like the guy. He's got that smile on his face.
Yep.
He's got a little bit of a – got a little step to him, you know, that really just – you kind of want to be around him,
yep.
you know, because he's a lot of fun. He's a good coach. He does a lot of really good things, and so we're tickled to death for Jimbo.
Yeah, we really are. And that's you know, he's become a pretty good pickleball player.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, Doug Barber says that now, and Doug's a big pickleball player too now. But
don't get me started.
Don't. I know. I love Doug.
He's done. That's one of my favorite people on this earth.
I mean it.
And I like him because I look him eye to eye.
I have to always check with Doug about shoes. He's always wears the neatest shoes, and he's got Terry Curtis doing it too. I'm a Johnson and Murphy guy because they're comfortable on my feet. Doug wears, he's got another brand now that he's kind of told us about, and I'm gonna have to check those out. But Doug told me that Jimbo has really become a really good pickleball player. So
pickleball.
I challenged our principal, middle school principal, the other day, Jeb Blackerby. I said, now you need to. Jeff started playing some pickleball. He's a former basketball coach, an outstanding basketball coach at Baker High School, and an alum of UMS, and now he's our middle school principal and doing a great job there. And Jeff has started playing a little bit of pickleball, and I told Jeff, I said, all right, so you and Doug, you need to play Doug. He's got a partner, Jimbo Talbert. He said, what? He said, Jimbo just stands right there to get the kitchen sink, and everything you hit, he just slams it away. So I'm anxious to hear how that comes out a little bit later on. But that's a sport that's growing in popularity is pickleball, and you don't even know what it is.
You know, because when I was in college,
right,
I was at Holt High School.
Yeah.
And
Woody Clements
was the head coach there. When I was there, and I was, of course, Charlie Porter was my supervising teacher,
right?
And he said, you need to teach this. I had to teach soccer, then I had to teach pickleball.
Really?
And the pickleball back then was, I don't know if it had,
no.
It was a, like you had a field, like it was 40 yards long,
right?
And X amount of wide. At the end of the field, there was a goalpost, and it had a wooden backboard with a hole in it.
Yeah.
Like cut like a square on both ends. And you took this ball and you would run, you ran with it like it was almost like rugby.
Right.
You'd run with it and then you'd throw it and somebody would catch it and they'd throw it and you'd try to throw it through that hole to win.
Yeah. That was pickleball then.
That was pickleball then.
Okay.
Now, that's what I knew of pickleball. Yeah. So it's changed
it has a
bit since then. But that, you talk about rough.
Yeah.
Them some guns, it'd start lighting you up, you know, if you got close to that goal. They wouldn't mind knocking you down.
Yeah, it's changed now. You go to our new tennis facility there in Dafty. You'll see 10 tennis courts and 6 pickleball courts. Really neat.
I need to go look because I've never seen
it. You really do. All right. Boy, it's going by fast with you here, Mark. We're almost at the end of an hour. We got one more segment, and then we're going to talk to Norman Joseph, the new head football coach at McGill. And, man, it's good to have you back.
Well, I'll tell you what. My wife's glad I'm here because I about talked her ears off for the last month and a half. So
I can imagine.
It's glad for me to be out here talking to you guys today.
I can imagine. All right. We'll return to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right after these breaks.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And let's go through a couple of more scores here because we want to give as much recognition as we can to these kids and their programs that they're in. In boys basketball this week, Dafty defeated Alberta 74-46. Mobile Christian defeated Orange Beach 67-48. Bayshore Christian 52, Alberta 40. Georgiana 78, Red Level 48. Got a guy that sent a message, Mark, from Georgiana. It listened to our show online and wanted, and he knows you, has known you from coaching. And as a matter of fact, he wanted you to know that you were in his thoughts and prayers. And I don't know what I did with that text. I tried to find it for the show. But anyway, thank you for that. And Mark is here, and I'm telling you right now, he's appreciative of that. Georgiana defeated Red Level 78-48. Montgomery Catholic 45, Montgomery Academy 43. We were just talking, Mark. The coach from Montgomery Catholic, the football coach, and I want to say it's Ashley. I played softball with his daddy for years.
The former football coach at Montgomery Catholic?
Yeah.
Aubrey Blackwell.
Yeah, Aubrey Blackwell took the job at Benjamin Russell.
Correct.
And Kevin Smith is a guy that we just think the world of.
Absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, we're kind of hoping that he'll get in the mix in Sylacauga. I mean that. I mean, I think that'd be a great job. Kevin Smith just got that job at Benjamin Russell when things were down. They had run out of Jimmys and Joes, and Kevin had been there forever. Listen who he coached with. He coached with Steve Savarese. He coached with Phil Lazenby. He coached with Danny Horn.
Three Hall of Famers.
Three Hall of Fame coaches. And, you know, this guy can coach.
Yes, he can.
And, you know, and I sure hope that he can be considered at Sylacauga.
I hope he can, too.
I do.
He's a good fellow. He's a good guy. He does a lot of good things for kids.
Yep.
And so we're just wishing the best for Kevin and his next step in his life.
Mark, he needs to be in coaching.
He does.
He makes a difference in kids' lives. I've heard that from so many people. He just was at Benjamin Russell at a bad time.
Just a tough time. If you remember when Danny Horn went to Ben Russell, when he got there, first year I don't think they won a game.
Didn't win a game.
Second year they went 1-9.
Right.
And then they finally got over the hump and went and won some ball game. I mean, played two or three years in a row down here at Spanish Fort in the playoffs.
Well, he had his son playing quarterback, too, and that made a difference. By that time, he was ready to compete at that level.
Right.
And, of course, what can you say about those three coaches? Sal, Phil Lazenby, and Danny
Horn. That's
pretty good. That is. And, you know, you don't – by osmosis, you learn a whole lot of football. But Kevin Smith's a doggone good football coach, and I'm just hoping – that he can be in the mix in Sylacauga. They may have already hired somebody.
I don't know.
I'm not
sure.
I hadn't heard anything from Sylacauga, but we certainly hope he can. But Aubrey Blackwell.
Do a good job.
You do a good job there.
He's a good coach.
Building a brand-new school at Benjamin Russell.
Yeah, I just heard that when I was up there last week or a week and a half ago. We were I knew it had been in the works, but my wife's cousin – Kelly Waldrop is on the board there, and
right.
he said that they were working on building a new high school there in Alexander City, and it's going to be really nice when they get it done. The school they've got there now it's got a lot of new buildings on it,
right?
But the school in itself, the original school, is kind of old,
yeah.
And so they're going to do some things with that, use it for something else. He told me what it was. And I can't remember what they're going to use the old high school for, but they'll move out there. I think it's out close to the old Avondale Village out there.
Right.
And I think they've got some land. No, that's not where it is. It's down there. You know where you come down 280 and cross 63, big four way stop there. It's up on the right hand side.
Up on the hill.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Well, we're excited for Aubrey Blackwell, and he's done a great job at Montgomery Catholic. Baker defeated Davidson this week, 59-53. In girls basketball, Baker defeated Davidson, 70-63. Also in girls action, Williamson 44, Vigor 41. McGill Tulin defeated West Florida, 50-44. Skylar Stapleton has done a great job for the Yellow Jackets. She posted a double-double with 10 rebounds and 16 points. She was 8-for-11 shooting for the Yellow Jackets. They're now 13-5. And Carla Berry just does an amazing job there for those ladies there at McGill-Tulin. Vigor ladies defeated LaFleur 54-40. Satsuma ladies 59, McIntosh 5. That's, wow. Braylee Weaver, freshman for Satsuma, had 18 points and 6 rebounds. She's some kind of special player. Freshman point guard, and she's going to be heard from a lot over the next few years over at Satsuma. Georgiana defeated Red Level 62-45. Gulf Shores defeated Baldwin County 44-32 in ladies basketball. Autumn Phillips, she did a great job there. She scored 10, and I think Shan Daniels had 17 points for Baldwin County. And they played Spanish Fort last night. Foley's got a really good girls team. They defeated Fairhope 47-41. They're number 4 in the rankings, and they're 15-3. They're 4-0 in Class 7A Area 2. And, they got a good ladies basketball team there at Foley. Trinity out of Montgomery defeated Prattville Christian 55-31. So that kind of gives us a wrap-up on high school basketball in our area. And, Mark, got some news this week. one of our former teammates, you guys in the River region, most of you guys that listen to us in the Montgomery area, and I got a couple of texts from some of y'all, and I appreciate it. Guy that played the other guard, was the guard, really. I mean the real guard, the good guard, at Huntington in the early 70s, mid-70s, really, 75, 76. Tony Engel. Tony Engel passed away this week. Tony was an outstanding college basketball player, played on a national championship junior college team at Dalton Community College. Tony went on and got into college coaching, was an assistant coach at Brigham Young, was an interim head coach at Brigham Young there for a while when the head coach got ill, and Tony then came home, was the head coach at University of Alabama at Huntsville, did an amazing job there, ended up going back home to Dalton Community College, which became a four-year college, and then was a head basketball coach at Kennesaw State, where they won a national championship. Tony Engel, one of the finest young men ever had the privilege of playing with, most unselfish player, I think, that I've ever played with. But as a coach, he changed people's lives. He was just a life-changing coach. And his wife, Jeannie, and his two sons and his daughter, it's kind of sudden. I think COVID, I think in the end, that's what got Tony. And really, most of us knew he had got word that he was sick a couple of weeks ago, and then we got word this week that he passed away. So our condolences and our prayers go out to Jeannie and the kids. Tony will be missed. If you want to Google somebody and read some really amazing stories, Google Tony Engel. One special guy. Hey, coming up, the new head football coach at McGill-Tula, Norman Joseph, when we return to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report.
It's time for the Charleston Gaslighters Prep Sports Report. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. You know, when you do a show out of Mobile, Alabama, one of the things we wanted to lead this hour off with was to talk about one of the greatest baseball players in American history, but also one of the finest men that I've ever had the privilege of just sitting down and listening to. Hank Aaron came into life on February the 5th, 1934 in Mobile, really on the wrong side of segregation, as many people say. He left it on Friday as a national icon. Henry Aaron died at the age of 86 on Friday. And, Mark, I can tell you this. He's probably near the top of the list of everyone's all-time great players. And his monumental achievements as a player were surpassed only by his dignity and integrity as a person. Henry Aaron symbolized the very best of our game, and his all-around excellence provided Americans and fans across the world with an example to which to aspire. Mr. Aaron's career demonstrates that a person who goes to work with humility every day can hammer his way into history and find a way to shine like no other. Henry Aaron was a childhood hero of mine. I mean, watching number 44 play for the Atlanta Braves was just seemed like an every night thing to hear Milo Hamilton and the guys call Henry Aaron's games. Mobile is a better place because of Henry Aaron. Major League Baseball is better because of Henry Aaron. May God bless his family. Thank you for the memories, Henry Aaron, and we are blessed to have been fans of yours and been in your midst.
Absolutely. Just a tremendous baseball player. Here's a little thing that he said several years ago. He had been offered two contracts for the Giants and the New York Giants at the time and Boston Braves. And Hank Aaron remembered this, why he went to the Braves. He says, I had the Giants contract in my hand, but the Braves offered $50 a month more. That's the only thing that kept me and Willie Mays from being teammates.
Isn't that amazing?
$50.
Fairfield, Alabama and Mobile, Alabama.
Isn't that something?
Wouldn't that have been something? Say hey, kid.
Say hey, kid.
And Henry Aaron. He will be missed.
Yeah, he will.
Just an amazing, amazing man. You know, we are honored this morning to welcome Coach Norman Joseph. Coach Joe is a lot of his former players call him, and he is so well-respected both at the collegiate level and at the high school level all over the Southeast. Coach Norman Joseph, welcome to the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning. I appreciate y'all having me on today.
Well, we're glad to have you on. We've been talking a little bit about you behind your back. Mark Lassiter, former head coach at Fairhope High School, I think you recruited and signed a group of his players while you were at, was it Mississippi College?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, back in 1998, when I became the head football coach at Belhaven University, well, it's Belhaven University now, it was Belhaven College. When I was there, we started recruiting the Mobile area. We had an assistant coach from Mobile that was on our staff, and he just had so many inroads in this area, and so we started hitting it pretty good. And then when I became the head coach at Mississippi College, we pretty much started doing it again because we had a couple assistant coaches, once again, they were from the Mobile area and came down and got some really quality players from down here. So it was football from Mobile has really enhanced my career and the players, the people, the coaches that I've come in contact with through the years has really been a blessing.
Well, Coach, I know that the McGill family, and it's an amazing family, and you will certainly – grow to love those people there at McGill. They have a tremendous athletic program, and I know that you will enhance it. Kind of tell us how this journey started with McGill. How did you find out about it? Was it something that you were interested in? And, of course, you've been the offensive coordinator at a school that we're very familiar with, having done this show for 18 years and having coached between us for about 80 years. We're very familiar with Catholic out of Baton Rouge, and you guys have really had outstanding programs there, and you took the offensive coordinator's job, and y'all have been prolific offensively. But how did this kind of come up about McGill Toulon?
Well, I was not aware of it. I'm just going to be quite honest on this. Our season in Louisiana was backed up. We did not start on time. Alabama started on time. Mississippi started their season pretty closely to the original start date. But ours got backed up in Louisiana until October. So we did not start till October. So a couple of early games were canceled. We ended up playing some district play. And then even during that time, our season got all thrown awry because teams had to cancel on us. And then we had to pick up games right at the last second. Matter of fact, we picked up one game on a Wednesday. We didn't know for sure that we were going to play. Our game had been canceled. We're out of practice. Our head coach says, hey, look, let's close in a word of prayer. So we said our prayer at the end of the practice, and all of a sudden the phone goes off, and he says, okay, we got a game Friday. We're playing number 3 Ruston in Ruston. So we had one day to really prepare for them and went up there and won 48-42. So that was – that was kind of the way our season went. Then the following week, we had to play number 1. That was a kind of a fill-in game as well, and we were fortunate enough to win that game. And then it just kind of snowballed in a positive way. But as the playoffs went, we did not play. Normally, the Louisiana championship playoffs and championship game is finished well before Christmas. Well, in our case, we did not finish we didn't play our championship game until Sunday after Christmas. And so we played the game, fortunate enough to win that. And so I'm sitting at home on a Wednesday, just kind of relaxing, catching my breath, and an assistant coach from over in the Mobile area, a friend of mine who had been on my staff at Mississippi College, called me and said, "You need to go after this job." I said, "What job?" And then that's kind of where it went from there. And he told me that as we were visiting, I said, "Well, look, I don't know anybody there." I said, "I used to recruit there. I knew coaches and administrators." I said, "I do not know anybody at McGill-Toulon now." And he said, "That's okay." He said, "Let me tell you what I've done." I went, "Oh, Lordy, what's up now?" So as it turned out, he had called Bill Griffin, the athletic director, and had mentioned my name. And according to my coach, Bill said, "Yeah," I said, "Norman Jones, that name sounds familiar. What is he doing now?" And he said, "Well, my friend said he's the offensive coordinator at Catholic High in Baton Rouge, and they just won the state championship." And I think at that point, things started working in a real positive way. I appreciate my friend going out and recommending me like he did.
Well, Coach, we got about 30 seconds in this segment, but we want to hold you over until about 9:30, so we'll go another segment. But I do want to really officially welcome you. We've been doing this show. Mark and I have been doing this show now. Mark's been with us for about 5-6 years, but this is the oldest high school sports show in the Southeast. And we want to welcome you and Jane. Of course, you got three adult daughters, and Elizabeth and Grace Ann and Sarah Catherine. And we're just excited to have you here. When we come back, we want to talk just a little bit about kind of your philosophies and about maybe assembling a staff and go from there. But we want you to know how much we appreciate you taking some time out on a Saturday morning to spend with us here at the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. And when we return, we certainly will talk to you about your philosophies and what your plans are for McGill-Toulon.
Absolutely.
Thanks a bunch, Coach, and we'll be right back with you. You're listening to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, and we're coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And we appreciate you taking time out on Saturday morning to be a part of our show and a part of our family. We'll be right back with more PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the CNC Financial and Auto Sales Communication Lines. Now, back to the show.
Tell you about a buddy of mine. Braxton Counts has joined forces with Jimmy Duncan. Jimmy Duncan's a 30-year congressman out of the state of Tennessee, and these two men can help anyone with governmental affairs. They have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, D.C., and so many people rely on either the state or federal government for their business, and Braxton and Jimmy can put you in front of the right people. So if you find yourself in need of working with Montgomery or Washington, D.C., contact our good friend Braxton Counts at 251-476-9900. It's all about relationships, and Jimmy and Braxton have great relationships both in Montgomery and Washington, D.C. All right, welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. We're talking to the new head football coach at McGill-Toulon. That would be Coach Norman Joseph. And Coach Joseph, again, Mark Laster is with us here, and we are so glad to have you here with us on PSR.
Thank you so much. Yes, great show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you, man. Coach, we're just glad you're here and excited about what you're going to do at McGill. And so our folks will kind of know a little bit. I've watched your teams play when you were coaching at Mississippi College and kind of have an idea of what y'all did. I know you've changed probably since then, but tell us a little bit about your philosophy on your football program and how you want to work offensively and defensively, whatever you want to divulge into. Just tell us a little bit about your philosophy on football.
Well, the first thing is even before the X's and O's and getting on the field, it's building relationships with players and staff and making sure everybody's all on the same page. I have four major goals that I want. When I was a collegiate coach, these goals were real and vibrant, and, and I think they fit with on the high school level as well. And here are my four goals. I want every player to leave with a diploma in his hand, a letter jacket on his back, a ring on his finger, and then one of these next two things. If he doesn't know Christ, he'll come to know him. If he does know Christ, he'll come to know him better. So with that, you know, a diploma in the hand is putting an emphasis and a premium thought on education and getting your degree. The letter jacket is just symbolic of doing some individual things, whether it's having success on the field or being student body class president or whatever position you want to do within the school. The ring shows that you as an individual can work in a team concept and have great success. And then that fourth area is having a personal walk with Christ. And throughout my coaching career, I've felt like that was something that is very important to share with our players, our coaches, and having a staff that was all on the same page that believed the same as I did.
You know, Coach, it's kind of neat, I think, that we have a new head football coach at McGill-Tulane. And then over across the bay, the new high school over there, also a Catholic school, St. Michael's, is bringing in Philip Rivers to be their head football coach. And I'm sure you two will have an amazing relationship because you're both Christ-centered men. But that's going to kind of be exciting for you to know that there's a young man coming in, and I'm sure he will – His dad's a high school, a very well-known high school coach and a very successful high school coach in North Alabama, and also has Mississippi ties as well. Of course, Steve played at Mississippi State. But it's got to be interesting for you to know that Philip Rivers is coming in across the bay, even though y'all might compete for a few students here and there. That's got to be an interesting dichotomy of things for you to be a part of.
Well, I think our profession has, through the years, has lost a lot of good people. And they decide they don't want to coach anymore, or they for whatever reason, they get a bad taste in their mouth and just decide to do something else. And it's refreshing to know that there are people to like Philip Rivers who have a great commitment and a belief in Christ. And now they want to come in and coach high school players. He surely doesn't need to, but it's a great feeling to know that he wants to share his faith and live out his life in a high school relationship with players.
It's really a neat thing, Mark. It is, isn't it? Of course, we're a faith-based show, Coach, and it's just something that is it's really neat to us to have two men of. One, Coach, you're the same age as I am, and I call us the older generation, and to have some younger generation guys like Philip come in, but it's so good to have you here. Just a little bit about your staff, Coach. You know, most of the time when we take head coaching jobs, we pretty much inherit a staff. Are you going to be able to maybe hire a couple of guys maybe that are that are familiar with you and your philosophies?
You know, one thing that was asked in the interview process, what did I think about the current staff the administrators were very supportive of the staff that's there. And looking back at them, you've got to say that they're good coaches and obviously they're good people as well, because through the last 10 years since 2011, they've won over 100 ball games. So just because there's a coaching change doesn't mean the coaches are bad. They're still good coaches, good men. They have shown to be very productive. And so as we go through this staff situation, and I'm still in the process of putting everything together, talking to staff members, find out what their strengths are and placing them. But there's going to be a large number that will stay, obviously.
Coach, what are some things you want to do offensively? What's kind of your game plan going in? Just, you know, what is your base offense, and what do y'all like to do?
Yeah, I love the spread system. People think, okay, you're running the spread, and you're going to throw it every down. And that's the way some folks imagine that to be, but that's not necessarily the ideal theme of the spread offense, and some coaches are such that they're saying, okay, we are going to throw the ball. And whether we have a quarterback that can do it, offensive lineman that can protect, or receivers that can run routes, we're going to throw the ball, and somewhere or other, we're going to start bringing in players or developing players in the lower grades. And so what ends up happening, if you have that philosophy of only doing it your way, then and you may not have the players to execute that design offense, then you're going to struggle. And I don't think that's fair for some of the juniors and seniors that are on the team that have other skill sets. So the beauty, in my opinion, the beauty of the spread is not saying, hey, we're going to do it my way and that's the only way. I think the beauty of the spread is you can utilize your talent to win ball games. So if we have a quarterback that is a dynamite passer, then and we have receivers that can run routes and catch ball, then we'll throw it. If we have a quarterback that's more of a runner, then we can adapt our offense to fit his skill set. However, I will say this: if we have a quarterback that can run and throw, then we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you are, Coach.
That's awesome.
That's good stuff. Well, Coach, we just want to welcome you and Jane to our area. And we're excited about what will take place and continue to take place, because Ernest Hill did a great job there. But we're excited for you and Jane and for your family. And we look forward to being a part and you being a part of PSR for a long, long time here, Coach. And welcome
to
Mobile.
Thank you so much. And, hey, y'all, you guys are always welcome to come out of the office sometime.
Sounds good.
Take care. We'll take you up on that. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. That's Norman Joseph, the head football coach at McGill Tulane, and we've got David real quick for about 40 seconds. David, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, guys. How's everybody?
Man, we have missed you. We have really missed you.
I've been locked up for the past year in quarantine.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. So we're only about 30 seconds. Give us some info.
Man, I got a handful of cars here. I got a beautiful Impala, a nice Acadia, and an Equinox. We do all our own in-house financing if you need help. Whether you got good credit, bad credit, or no credit at all, we can certainly help you out.
Give us a phone number real quick at CNC Financial and Auto Sales.
We are at 3150 Moffitt Road, and you can reach us at 251-338-9019. Look for the big Crichton leprechaun.
Hey, we miss you, pal. We look forward to talking
good
to you
soon. Good to hear your voice.
Take care, David. We'll be back with more on the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report right here in Mobile, Alabama.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
I sure do hate to interrupt Boz Skaggs there, Mark. That's just such good music. But you know, when you hear good quality parts, professional staff, and the best prices in town, fantastic service, very friendly staff, the price is simply unbeatable, and the work is fantastic. You know, they're talking about Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive here in Mobile. It's open Monday through Friday from dawn, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, pretty much. You can call Chris Garrison and all the guys at Premier Collision at 251-478-4500. Appreciate everything that they do for all the folks here in Mobile and the way they support high school sports. Man, we got one of our favorite guys that I have just – we've recorded for the past 2 weeks, and so hadn't had a chance to talk to James. And James, good morning and congratulations. You predicted it. You hit it right on the head when you talked about Alabama winning the national championship.
Yeah, well, everybody, you know, I had a 50% chance. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Rick. I had a 50% chance of getting it correct. So, I mean, I'll take those odds anytime. But I think I missed the overall score by 4 points, I think.
I thought it was three, but I knew that you were – as the game was progressing, I said, doggone it, he hit the doggone score right on the head.
Yeah, even a blind hog will stumble up on an acre every now and then. So I got very lucky on some tack call, Rick. I was very, very much lucky. Both of you doing well today, I hope.
Well, and good morning to you. We are doing well, and we're glad to have Mark back in here with us, James.
It's So am I. Glad to have you back, Mark. Been missing hearing your voice. Good
Thank
to hear
you, buddy. It's good to hear yours, pal. It's been a long time.
It has been. It has been. And I've been listening all this morning talking about the Hank Aaron's death and what he meant to so many people. And it gave me a thought of reflection. I thought about if we're all being kind to ourselves, if we're all being really open-minded and considerate, we're looking back at a time frame when he broke Babe Ruth's record and what he went through to get to that point, and the death threats and things that he received as he got close to that, and the pressure that he was under, and just the general things that he had to endure to what today it would be a normal procedure. So I think the great reflection about Hank Aaron and what he brought to our community, to professional baseball, is that he stayed focused. He endured a lot of insults and everything else. And so I hope all of us will just look back and think, not too long in our past, we were seeing things occur that shouldn't have been happening, and what we're having to deal with today, and ask all of us just to be a little more open-minded, a little more considerate, a little more respectful, a little more understanding that we are all here, we are all Americans, and we all need to be concerned and both considerate to our fellow man and woman to do a better job in life every day. I think that's the blessing that he would leave us, is to teach us to be more tolerant, more understanding, notwithstanding the fact that I consider him to be one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
No doubt.
Anyway, I like y'all's coverage of what y'all doing about his life today, and it's just a great tribute to Mobile and to an individual with that kind of character and class.
You know, James, and very well said, Mark brought up in the break, he and Willie Mays, who is a Fairfield, Alabama native, they were very close to playing on the same team. I mean, Mark, how did
$50 that, separated
$50 separated them playing on the same team.
Can you imagine what a combination that would have been?
Oh, my gosh.
I think I would have just, if I had him on my schedule, I'd just get my worst pitcher and put him out there. I wouldn't let him beat up on my best guy. It's that old story about Nolan Ryan threw one high inside on him when they were playing, brought him down to the dirt, and one of his next plays slapped one out over about 400 feet, and he's walked in the dugout and said something along the lines of, it's going to be a bad day. I think I made him mad. It was not an intentional high pitch.
He got away from him.
But he said, I think I made him mad today, guys. I don't know if it's going to work out good for us. And it did, and I think they smacked him around pretty good that day.
You know, isn't it a vivid picture in my mind of when he hit that home run, when he hit 715, and the fan ran onto the field and tried to
get around second base.
Third base.
I'm like, get out of the way. Did y'all not see this coming when it happened? Guard the field, man. He's all he could do to make, because had he not touched all three bags, they would have called him out.
Probably so.
That's the rule. You got to get all three of them.
Right.
I might have got the ball and thrown it back. But I doubt they would have done that to him at that time after all he had endured for the past,
James,
4 weeks, and he was getting death threats. What a tremendous character, to just an example to leave with us and to show us how we can better lead and be better responsible people and just better Americans all the way around, to look up to a vision that he had and what he had to endure to get to where he needed to be to become, as far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest baseball or hitters of all time,
Well, I'm mighty proud of Mike Dow and Sandy Stimson and the people that are in government here in Mobile. And I think Mike Dow was probably the first one that brought Hank and brought his home back to to the Bay Bear Stadium and named it after Hank.
Tremendous.
Yeah, and that's good stuff.
It's a great example for our city. Great example, great recognition of how we needed Hank a lot more than Hank needed us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you look at it that way, we needed Hank Aaron a lot more than Hank Aaron needed us. I don't mean that in the bad way, but we needed his spirit.
Right.
We needed his contributions to equality and sports, his contributions to people in life, to so many people that he helped. And he did it in a way where he didn't want to be recognized. He had no desire to receive a lot of public accolades about some of the individual things that he was doing for organizations and helping some of the indigent people in our community and other communities. Quite a class act to follow, I'm telling you. A tremendous man, a tremendous father. Just a great person all the way around, you know?
Well,
I'm glad y'all are contributing and attending to, obviously, duly recognized performance as an individual, in the community, as well as in the sport that he obviously dominated, without any question.
Could the city of Mobile have a finer ambassador than Hank Aaron?
No, they couldn't. And you look at, you know, the traditional sports individuals that become ambassadors in the cities and stuff that they live in. In today's world, they're much more of an international figure. But, you know, he was an ambassador for not only Mobile, but the state of Alabama, but for baseball in general, for just people whose voices were not normally heard. When he needed to take a stand on something, he did in a very quiet, respectful way. He showed us that you can do a lot of things if you're willing to compromise, a lot of things if you're willing to just put the truth out there and let people sort through it. I mean, if you give people the opportunity to work with you, you first have to lead them in an example of compassion, an example of commitment. And what a commitment he had to his, not only his work ethic, but his belief that he was able to do what he was able to do. I mean, he believed in it. He believed that he could hit any pitch that came to him, and he never quit believing that. So we had a great ambassador, and his memory will long endure long after the next couple of weeks pass. And I'm so glad to have been a part of, just not been a part, but have him be a part of our city, and we can command the attention that he belongs to us, and he belongs to the rest of the world. But we're gonna claim him belonging to us for now.
It's very well said, James, and thank you for touching base this morning. And I'll say roll tide. But we
know, Rick, it's hard for you.
It is.
Are you joking? Be careful, Mark. You may have to.
I know. May have to.
You
do
may have to do it that time.
Resuscitate him.
Maneuver, whatever it's called. And he can joke on us. I'm saying that word.
Well, we do want to talk to you soon about the changes in the staff. It's just going to be same as usual. They're just going to keep
on
rolling.
Some interesting stuff I'll talk to y'all about, maybe next week or the following week, and what I've learned about some other things up there. But I'm looking forward to doing that. You two have a wonderful, blessed weekend, and thanks for all you do for so many. But, Mark, particularly good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
To hear it, and welcome back, and I'll see you guys soon. And, Rick, drop by and see me next week, okay?
Take care.
Thanks,
we'll see you soon,
care,
pal.
Buddy.
Bye-bye.
Thank
sir.
You, buddy.
Bye-bye. That's a guy that loves – he's like you, Mark. Doggone it. Y'all love that Alabama football, and and this guy knows it, too. I mean, he's you know, sometimes I think he's got some inside – he's got some inside information. I mean, he's so up to date on current things, and can, you know, he refreshes my mind sometimes about the comings and goings that go on in Tuscaloosa. So, man, that's I love talking to him. He's a man who's got a lot of wisdom, lots and lots of wisdom. You know, we were talking high school basketball earlier in the show, and we talked a little bit about Riley Leonard, who's a special, special player. But, you know, a guy that you probably going to keep your eye on is a young man by the name of Robert Woodyard. He's a heck of a football player over at Williamson High School. And, matter of fact, I think they're looking for a football coach, too. I hadn't heard of a hiring at Williamson. But Robert Woodyard, if I'm not mistaken, is already committed to the University of Alabama. You want to go watch him play on a basketball floor.
Is he pretty good?
He's pretty, yeah. Shumbay Hunter's got a special player in Robert Woodyard. So, yeah, you want to watch him play. Of course, we just talked to Norman Joseph, who's the new head football coach at McGill-Tulane, and they have a very special basketball player over at McGill-Tulane in Barry Dunning, who I think is kind of giving a soft verbal to Bruce Pearl at Auburn. If he hadn't, I hope he has.
Right.
But he's a special player. But we've really got some outstanding basketball players here in the Mobile Baldwin County area. And if you get a chance, and we're doing social distancing, and the schools are doing a great job with social distancing, and the officials are doing an absolutely fantastic job of rotating balls out when the ball goes into somebody picks it up. It's everybody's doing a great job with this. And so I happened to watch another state that wasn't doing nearly the job that Alabama was doing in the past week or so. And we're so proud of the coaches and the administrators. You know, what a great job we've done to get basketball on the court. And next week, as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the changes to the state basketball tournament. And we're going to get Jamie Lee on, and he's going to kind of go through all the changes. Going to be a lot of changes in how we're doing the state basketball tournament this year.
There is. You know, Rick, I'll give a kudos again to the High School Athletic Association, our central board, for pushing for us to play sports in this state this year and giving our kids some chance of normalcy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A front runner throughout this nation, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, led by Coach Steve Savarese. We'll be back with more PSR right here on the Charleston Gas Lantern Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile, is the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, it is so good to be back here at PSR this morning and being able to talk about things that are we feel like are really important. And I think our listeners think things are, you know, we talk about, they tell us all the time, thanks for the show. I love hearing that, Rick. I know you
I do too.
Because, you know, we want this show to be a show that brings meaning to people's lives. Not only do we talk about the positive things that go on, we talk about for in our own lives. Man, I tell you what, I learn something every Saturday morning that makes me hopefully a little bit better person when I walk out of here. I'm going to talk to you today about a man that I grew to love and cherished his friendship over the last 30 years of my life as my father-in-law, Bobby Hugh Waldrop from Alexander City, Alabama, passed away a couple weeks ago. And a couple things that have been talked about Bobby that are just unbelievable. First thing I know, the last thing I was able to tell him was, thank you. Thank you for letting me marry your daughter and the family that she brought into this world. And the kind of man he is to help nurture that. One of the best things I think I heard over the days that my father-in-law, after he had passed away, and a lot of remembrances, you know, about things that he did, quirks that he had that we laugh about and we talk about. The thing I'm going to tell you today is the most meaningful thing that was said to me was that throughout his, this is from one of his friends that grew up with him in Alexander City. Rodney said that throughout his life, all 80 years, he had never heard Bobby Waldrop say one word to anyone else in anger. I got to thinking about that myself. I've known him for over 30. He's lived in my house for 10 years. He and his beautiful wife, Beverly, have lived with us, helped raise our kids, and I never heard him say anything to anyone in anger. Never. And I think, how many people can say that? I can't say it. I can't go 2 hours, 10 minutes sometimes, you know? But tells me that Bobby had a heart that Jesus wanted all of us to have. A heart of love and compassion for other people. A heart that was willing to do whatever it took to make somebody else's day a little bit better. Every day that I saw Bobby Waldrop, he made my day better. Every single day. I still see it in his grandkids. I see the smile on their faces when they talk about him. I see the love in the hearts of his children as they miss their father. And they love their father. he did a great job being their father. And as I sit in the room right now sometimes with Beverly, his wife, and she just talks about, she'll talk about some of his quirks and things that he does wrong and or did wrong and things that she talked about last night, how she had left and gone out of town, came back, and he had moved a lot of stuff out from underneath the bed and taken it to Goodwill. And he told me, he says, I know she's going to come back and ask for something that I took away, and sure enough she did. And we talked about that last night, and she said it with a smile on her face. And she has been an example for her kids and for me and her grandkids of what strong love is all about. Last thing she told him, she says, I'll miss you, but I'll see you soon. There's always hope. Hope in a life that Jesus gave us. That no matter where we are, no matter what we do, he will always be with us, as you say, every week, Rick. And I'm going to miss you, Bobby. Thank you for the love you showed me and my family.
You know, Mark, we're not promised tomorrow. We hear that a lot. Bobby lived that life every day, and he lived today like there was no tomorrow. I've heard that from you for a long time. And when the paths of the people that come into our life that put a foot on our life, and that's what Bobby has done. Bobby has done that not only for you, but for Michelle and the boys. And that footprint will be there forever. You know, Jesus said when he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Bobby had that kind of spirit. And I didn't know Bobby. I met him three times maybe. But you know, that was contagious. It was just, you just felt like you'd known somebody for their whole life. And you were blessed. You were blessed and continue to be blessed for the legacy that he left for you, for his daughter Michelle, for his wife Beverly, and for those grandchildren that probably just absolutely, just stinking absolutely adored him. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that is just that resonates with us when we lose someone. And it takes a while, as we were talking about coming across the bay this morning. It takes a while. But that footprint that is in your life forever will never leave. And you watch those boys, that life that Bobby led, it'll resonate in their life forever. It sure will.
Well, you know, his son Stacy and Stacy's wife Missy and their two girls.
Yeah.
Same thing resonates. And I was talking to Stacy last night and just – sat there and listened to him talking. We just had a great conversation, but you can still see in Stacy the man that Bobby was.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, folks, this is a high school sports show, but we kind of go all around the world talking about sports, both on the high school and the college level. Tomorrow you'll have a chance to hear two of our dear friends, Randy Bergen and Danny Spivey, talk about golf and that's another spiritual show. That's a show that will touch your life. 11 to 1 tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5. Folks, thanks for being with us. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. See you here same place, same time next week.